that we would be able to see your face today. Lord, we ask, God, that we would be able to experience, Lord, what you have desired for us. Lord, that we would not be held back, Lord, by our own distractions or the distractions of the enemy. But Lord, that we would, as your word says, be able to boldly become to your throne of grace. Lord, that we could find help, Lord, in time of need and stress in our lives. Lord, we know that you are the answer to whatever issue, whatever thing is in our life. Lord, you are the answer. So we look to the answer today. We look to the answer for every question of life. We look to the answer for every problem, every setback. Lord, we look to you. You are the answer. And Lord, we want to exalt you and magnify you this morning. We don't care what the circumstances look like. You are worthy of praise. You are worthy of honor. You are worthy of adoration. And we exalt the name of Jesus in this place. We exalt the name of our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you've started a good work in us, God. And you're going to be the one that's faithful to complete this work you've started. And we just bless the name of Jesus.
Welcome in this place. welcome in this place.
Sometimes we can come in here and have a really rough week, and it makes it kind of hard to press in, if you will, because you feel like you've just kind of got the weight of everything that happened on your shoulders. However, when we come in here, there's such a grace that is freely given for you to take. And that song is, can you put the words back up to that for me, my man? You're welcome in this place. When we sing that, it's not, Lord, you're welcome in the church. No, you're welcome in this place. Lord, no matter what's going on, no matter what kind of week I had, no matter what happened, if I yelled at my kid before I came, which I did, you're welcome in this place. You're welcome in my heart, Father God. Come and just overwhelm your presence. Just take that weight from me, God. You are so worthy, Lord. We just are here to worship you, Jesus. Father God, you are so worthy of our praise, God. We thank you for everything you're doing, Father God. God, you are worthy in this place, Lord.
Have your way in our shout out and bless the Lord, oh my soul, and let all that's within me shout out, shout out, have your way, have your way, have your way. With everything I am, I sing, Lord, have your way, have your way, have your way. Nothing can hold me back from you, have your way, have your way. Have your way, have your way, have your way.
Sing, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and let all that's within me shout out, shout out. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and let all that's within me shout out. Shout out and bless the Lord, oh my soul, and let all that's within me shout out. Shout out and bless the Lord, oh my soul, and let all that's within me shout out. Shout out, 'cause we have come. We have come to give you praise.
We haven't just come into a building this morning, we've come into his presence.
We have come to give you glory.
Song, and I will join with him, declaring. your glory. There is none, none like you. Who can know my heart like you do? For all creation sings your song, and I will join with them, declaring your glory. We can run straight into your arms, unafraid. 'Cause every time we need you, we're met by love. We can lift our hands to heaven, full of faith. 'Cause every time we worship, we see your face.
I'm so glad we serve a good God who's so gracious. I just keep thinking in my mind, man, I wish we could just restart this, because it seems like there's been such a tension from the beginning. And the good news is that we serve a God who allows us to restart. His mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. And like 2 Corinthians 5 says, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things are new. All things are new. So every moment is an opportunity in your mind to decide, am I going to live in the old man, or am I going to be the new man? And Christ, he came, he died, and he made a way for us to be new. And I feel like restarting, it's just not good enough. Because we can restart something. We can say, okay, I'm going to do the same thing over. But the problem is, if you miss the spirit, if you do things in the same spirit, you're going to get the same results. And that's why the Holy Spirit came. That's why when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. Because it doesn't matter what you do, you're not doing it in the same spirit.
That's right.
So Holy Spirit, we just give our lives to you. Brand new. We just thank you for the power of God that rests in each heart here. And God, I just declare new beginnings. I just declare new beginnings over all of our lives. No matter what that looks like in your life right now, I just declare, God, that you would plant seeds right now that would then be watered. And I pray that you till up the soil of our hearts, God, that new beginnings would be possible, because it doesn't matter how much seed you throw on that old ragged soil that's been growing weeds for years. God, I just pray that you would till up the soil right now, and that you would begin to plant newness, that you would begin to plant fresh life in all of our hearts. The old is passed away. Behold, all things are new. And we just embrace your truth this morning, God, that all things are new.
No, it's okay. This morning, early, I was kind of asking the Lord, what do you have for us today, God? What's going on? And we were joking with Glenn and Lotta earlier in the week, and they were like, oh, Sarah, you preach. I'm like, I've got nothing. And I still continue with that, I've got nothing. But one thing that God dropped in my spirit kind of in the early morning was just so refreshing, and it was literally just the word refreshing. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I know that I need that. And I was talking to Stephen this morning as we were getting ready, and I'm like, you know, the only thing that I keep hearing in my spirit is refreshing. And as Glenn was saying that, I was like, I really feel that God wants to refresh us this morning. I don't know how your guys' week has been, or even your month or last few weeks or anything, but for me, I need a refreshing touch from God today. And it, no matter how far I come, and no matter how much I grow, no matter how much I become more like Christ, I need a refreshing. Every day, every minute of every day, I need a refreshing. I literally need the blood of Christ to flow over me and refresh me today. And as Glenn was saying that, I don't remember what words he said, but it literally sparked something in me, and I could see just this refreshing flow from heaven coming on us and just like washing us clean. And I believe that's the new beginning that we need, the restarting this morning. So if you need a refreshing from God this morning, I don't care what's going on inside, I don't care how hard it's been, if you need something from God, if you feel like coming up here this morning, then do that. If not, whatever, wherever you're at, God will touch you. But I believe we need a refreshing in our spirits this morning. And so, Mark, did you want to?
Refreshing is definitely the word. When we awoken this morning to time change, we also awoken to rain. The freshness, the cleansing, rain. And Derek said that when I walked in. He said, it smells good. It smells fresh. It's a new day. And today is a new day. Because when Glenn was speaking those words, and then when Sarah followed, the Lord kept showing me a body of water. And he said, don't be afraid. Jump in. Jump in. Jump in. Be cleansed. Be free. Be healed. Doesn't matter if you took a shower, or took a bath, or you didn't. The Lord has a fresh new water, a fresh start. It's a new day, a new time. It's a new day, a new time. The refreshing, living water of the Father is falling. Thank you, Lord.
You are water. You are water.
You are water. You are water.
to thirst. Awaken, first love, come away.
Saw the eunuch, I think it was Paul, and he's teaching him about baptism, and they're riding along. This guy hears about baptism. He sees a small pool of water on the side of the road, and he says, well, why don't we do that right now? There was a hunger just from hearing what God had called him to. There was a hunger placed inside of him that said, why not right now? So whatever it is that God's called you to, I just want to ask you, why not right now? Why not right now? What is it that somebody has lied to you and told you that's holding you back from the place that God is calling you to? Maybe these are lies that we even speak over ourselves. And I just declare this morning, all lies be broken in the name of Jesus. And we just release a fresh calling on the hearts of the believers represented here. And we just say, God, present the opportunity. We just say, God, whatever it is you're calling us to, that boy, it was baptism. Said we would do greater things. You're calling me to greater things. I am yours. I am yours. You're calling. And you are calling me to greater things. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. Ooh. Oh, with clean hands and a pure heart. 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 I am yours. Yes,
is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes.
Was bought with the
blood of Jesus Christ, oh come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus
cross as you wait for your crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found. Bear your cross as you wait for your crown. Tell the world of the treasure you
It's interesting that we have the R's going today, restart, refresh, because the Lord this morning in my heart was putting restore in my heart. And, you know, it's amazing how it really takes a restart and then a refreshment for restoration to come, because you need to be in the presence of God. You need to be in flowing in his brand new life for that restoration to come. And I have good news for everyone here today. We all qualify. Because we restarted in Christ. He gave us a new start. And it's not up to us, as Glenn was saying, to make it all start all over. He started the whole work in us. And refreshment has come. Holy Spirit's in our lives. It's because of the restoration that he wants to do in us. He's given us a new start. He's breathed his life in us. So, Lord, we just thank you, God, for this day that you've given us, Lord, that we can receive that freshness from the Holy Spirit. We can receive that new life in you, God. And we choose to walk in it. Lord, we choose to walk in this new life. We choose to receive your refreshment today, Lord. We choose to receive what has already been sent and given to us. And, Lord, we thank you for the restoration that you want to do. No matter how bad our lives have been beaten down, no matter how much the enemy has stolen from us, you want to restore. Not just restore what we lost, but restore on top of that. And we receive that today, God. We thank you, Lord, that your blood has made the way. We thank you, Lord, that your cross has made it so that we could have full restoration in our lives. And we receive that today. By faith, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, team, which I am a part of.
Hey, give it up for Zeke. Give it up for Zeke. That guy's such a stud on the drums. What is that? Church cleaning sign-up sheet. Somebody scribbled on it, but that's all right. If you want to be a part of the church cleaning, you know, there's lots of things that make the church go around, and it's not just the guitar, it's not just the drums, it's not just the vocals, but there's things that go on behind the scenes, and they're just as important, if not more important than the others, because I don't want to come and put my butt on a dirty seat in the bathroom. I'm just being honest. So we're going to pass this around. If you would like to sign up, I encourage you to sign up. If you're just one person, if you got a big family, either one. If you're one person, we'll pair you with somebody else. That way it's not all on your own. So don't think that you'll be left to clean all those seats by yourself. Timmy wants to sign up. I know he does. Anyways, why don't you leave that on, Dad? Just like on the background. Oh, he turned it off. Why not? Now it's off. It's done. So if Pastor Mike and Pastor Galen can come to the front, come to the altar. You don't want to hear me sing. Just kidding.
He could do it.
He won't hear afterwards. No. I try to serenade my wife all the time, but she just plugs her ears and runs the other way. Ada, you want to say something? Say hi. Tell everybody what you got for your birthday. She turned 3 on Friday. So, month of October, we're one day late, but we've been collecting this for a while. Was Pastor Appreciation Month, and so this is for
pastors.
So go ahead and open it. We'd like to watch you open it. This is from the church. It's all from the church. So this is what we got them for Pastor Appreciation Month.
Rosadale, one night stay. Oh, where is that? Oh
my goodness. It's in England.
No. Where are the tickets? Have
no.
You guys given bread and breakfast for England? No tickets. No.
And then it's just up on, it's just up off of Yakima Avenue.
I don't know if you guys can see it, but it's like a little mansion.
It's like one of the original mansions of Yakima.
Wow.
So we went ahead and got them a one-night stay there at a little B&B.
Thank you.
And then that is another card. For.
You want us to open it?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Everybody wants to watch you. I licked it.
Use super glue.
No, I licked it. You want a knife?
Yeah, please. Now that's a knife.
That's dangerous. You got to have a license to carry that thing.
You should keep this away from me. But
don't stab my daughter, please.
I'm trying not to.
Do you need some help there,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, you do it. I'm not right-handed. I'm left-handed. I'm good this here. There we go.
You guys can go sit down. I was just trying to make you feel awkward.
Oh, look at dinner. Oh.
Black Angus and a little bit of spending money for the night. Don't thank me. That was from the church. All right. So, next thing is my wife. She's just going to smile.
Okie doke. What's today? What's the date today? November 1st. So not next weekend, but the weekend after is our women's conference. And so we have these little things. It's going to be $20. All of the information is on this little handout that we, did we hand these out? No, we handed out the other one. So we have these little ones if you guys, do we have enough for them to give out? Okay. So we have a bunch of these if you guys want to hand them out to other women. Can you hear me okay, even though I'm a little bit awkward with this? So we have these that you can pass out, and the envelopes are for your money and your information. You can turn those into Galen. And if you have an idea of somewhere in town that you can hang one of these up or something to advertise it as well, feel free to take some. We also have a sign-up sheet under here. We're going to need people for the Friday night and part of Saturday to bring, like, food and stuff for the women. We're expecting around 100 women, hopefully more. And so we have a sign-up sheet for that. If you'd like to volunteer, can you just grab the top papers? If you'd like to volunteer to bring something, some of them have specific, like, chocolate chip cookies or that kind of stuff. Make sure you put your cell phone number. That way we can get a hold of you. Sorry, are you guys done with that one? This one's been, okay. We are the clipboard church. That's what we always joke about. But anyway, get your name on the list. If you know of anyone who would like to bring something, other people can bring something as well. If you have any questions about any of it, Gaylene, text her, or myself. Anyway, so that's coming up. We're really excited. We're going to have a guest speaker, Bobby Clear. She's from the Dalles, I believe. And it's going to be outreach-based. We're going to be talking about outreach and reaching other people. And Them is the name of the conference, and it's Taking Her the Extra Mile. I'm glad I remembered that. So there's a scripture on there and stuff. And really, even if you're maybe not ready to invite someone or whatever, be praying about it and be praying for us as a church hosting this, and that God's presence is really here and that we're impacting women. Reagan's going to be a speaker someday. Can you say anything? She just wants to hold it. But anyway, so that's all that I had to say about that. And there's no 31 women next Saturday. No 31 women, because the women's conference is the next weekend. So.
And then Thanksgiving is coming up. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday ever, because you get to eat a lot, and then you get to eat a lot like the next following 7 days. A lot of turkey sandwiches. Those are my favorite, is the turkey after the turkey. Is the turkey sandwiches, a lot of mayo, mustard. That's real good. Ken, should I divulge your secrets of the kitchen in the eating of the slabs of butter? Anyways, so the kids, do we have kids today? Do we have kids today? That's the question. Three. Four. You guys want to stay up or you want to go down? They don't want to stay up here? Who's taking them? You're going to take your own kids downstairs? Sir? No. You guys, do you want to stay up? It's up to you, since it's just your children. See, they want to stay up. All right, give it up for Pastor Mike.
So, yeah, as I was sharing just a few minutes ago, we had kind of a theme going with Glenn's restart and Sarah's refresh, and the Lord is putting on my heart restoration this morning. And the first scripture that I'll share, it's not what I want to share about, but let me go ahead and go to it. It's in Acts chapter 2. I think it's find it here. Hello. I didn't highlight this one. Hang on a second. Let me use the find, which always comes in handy. I wonder how I found things in my Bible before the find. I probably just said, someone look it up or something. Oh, it's Acts 3. No wonder I wasn't finding it. Acts 3. This is an admonition that's coming about the church and the beginning of the very first weeks of them as a church. And one of the things that is being communicated is who Jesus is and what his goal is and what his desire is. And it says here, Peter, I believe, is the one that says this, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who has preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So restoration of all things is a desire of God's heart, being restored. I know I'm a product of restoration. Years ago, I went through a divorce. My wife basically abandoned, previous wife, abandoned me and a son that had cerebral palsy, and really was left with very little hope. Felt totally fractured and split, and had no real self-image. Doing this, there's no way I would have been doing this. And in God's design, he brought restoration into my life in the form of Pastor Gay. And we would say that that's mutual. But God didn't just restore so that I was married. He restored years that the locusts had eaten. Even previous to that, with what I went through and struggled with Aaron, with being basically, 10 years old and still having to change his diaper. And it was a full restoration to the place of Stephen being in my life and a son, and was blessed with Stephen. I think he was about 4 years old, and he was a restoration to my heart. And then Timothy came along. He is a restoration. Sometimes, even named Timothy Aaron. That was Pastor Ken's idea. But I want to talk about how God knew with me what he was up to. Even what the enemy was meaning for evil, at the very intent of that moment, God was preparing the good. See, it wasn't that God wasn't surprised at what the enemy did. A lot of people think, oh, God got caught off guard, and that's why I'm where I'm at. No, God knows the beginning and the end. But he prepares the restoration. He prepares the answer for us even before the enemy springs the trap. And I want to give you a little story in the Old Testament that I think helps really explain God's heart of restoration. It's in 2 Kings chapter 8. 2 Kings, 1 Kings, and 2 Kings is amazing books. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to read them. You get the miracles of Elijah, miracles of Elisha. And this is kind of a moment when one of Elisha's servants, actually Gehazi, who was really one who ended up with a problem of, I believe it was Naaman's leprosy, because he ended up taking money for Naaman being delivered from leprosy. And Elijah said, you know what? I saw you when you went out. I was not going to collect any money. You went and collected money. Well, Gehazi ended up with a king. I don't know. He must have had some ins because of his work with Elijah. And Gehazi is, let's start the story in verse 1. It says, then Elijah spoke to the woman whose son had been restored to life, saying, arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine, and furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years. Remember last week we heard from Glenn about whatever the Lord says, do? Well, here Elisha is telling this woman, you need to take everything that belongs to you, all of your household, and you need to leave the land of your fathers. And, how many know that that's kind of hard? back then, it wasn't like, they're just going to, get a visa and start, charging. And, it was a big deal to move. And she ended up going to the land of the Philistines, it says here. Let me go on. So the woman arose and did according to the saying of the man of God. And she went with her whole household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. Now, this is the woman who Elisha raised her son from the dead. And I don't have time to get into that whole story, but what ended up happening is this was a miracle baby. This was a baby that Elijah said, you know what, same time next year, you're going to have a baby, because she was barren. She hadn't had a baby. And so He was probably a teenager or a young boy when Elijah was out working a ways, and he got sick. And she went to him, said, you know, the Lord didn't even tell Elijah that this woman's boy was sick. She went to him and said, is this what you meant to do? You meant to bring this kind of calamity on me because you gave me a son and now he's dying. And so Elijah goes back, and this is where he lays his body on the boy, and life comes back to the boy. So this is the boy and the woman and their whole family who went to live with the Philistines for 7 years. Now, it came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and her land. So here she is. She's coming back after 7 years of being gone from her whole house. You know, I'm sure that it's possible that people just moved in. I don't know how that worked back then. I mean, if she was renting it or what, but it sounds like she just abandoned it, and now she's going back to make an appeal to the king. Now, I'm thinking about, you know, for me, when I was running into this situation of all of this loss in my life, you know, I was just waiting on God. I was looking to him for the answer. I wasn't looking to, you know, to go find a wife. He finds a good thing. I was waiting for the Lord to be my answer. And I believe that's what this woman's doing. She's looking to see what God will do for her when she goes to the king. I don't think she was just going to the king just to get the king's answer. I believe she was waiting for the King of Kings to be used here. I don't think this was just an ordinary woman just hoping the king was going to give this back. I believe she had expectation. I believe she learned to have that expectation from the relationship she had with Elisha. Now, this is interesting. Picture this. Here you have Gehazi, this servant of Elijah, again, who was probably removed after him catching leprosy because of his evil deed. He's sitting and talking to this king, and he says, "Then the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, 'Tell me, please, all the great things Elijah has done.'" So again, this woman's ready to go to the king right now. Picture this. She's come back after 7 years, and she's getting ready to go in front of the king. At that very moment, the king turns to Gehazi and says, "Tell me about Elijah. What kind of stuff did he do?" Does anybody see what's going on here? God's preparing a scene by turning the heart of the king so that the very moment that this woman's going to be walking in, something's going to be taking place. Now it happened, as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, that there was the woman whose son he had restored to life. So Gehazi starts saying, "Well, there's this amazing story I got to tell you. Elijah was gave this woman by a prophetic word a son, and he became very, very sick and died. And Elijah went and laid his body on this boy until life came back into it." And the king's like, going, "Wow, that's amazing." And then Gehazi looks and says, "Oh my goodness, king, that's the woman. That's the son. Right in front of us." Do you think the king maybe came to attention for a moment? Do you think this was staged? Why? Because God's heart is restoration. God's heart is restoration. If we try to restore things ourselves, though, guess what? We slow the process. We slow God down when we try to do things that God has already set a plan in place. Now, there's many times that people get a word from the Lord that they're going to be something, they're going to do something, that God's got a call on their life, and they get all excited and they start running and they start doing their thing because they got the word. But they didn't realize that there's a timing and there's a season for preparation, for getting their hearts ready, for getting their being ready to be who God's calling them to be. Not that they don't apply faith, but God can set up things so much better than we can. Can you imagine if she went in there and not had that happen?
Can you imagine if she would have went in there and then all of a sudden just went before the king? Hey, can I have my place back? Let's see what happened. What does the king do here? And when the king asked the woman, she told him she. So the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, restore all that was hers and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left until now. So she left her entire household for 7 years. She abandoned it at the word of the Lord. And God, through the king, keep in mind it says that the hand of the Lord is on the king's heart to turn it wherever he wants. It's like water. You know, so many of us, you know, we have a lot of bad things to say about politicians, but, you know, it's not anything for God to turn their hearts. It's not anything for him to turn them the way he wants them to go. Just keep that in mind when you're saying, right, and they do this, right? And the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, an officer to go with her. Now, I wouldn't want to have been that person that was in that house for 7 years. Because the restoration came back for all the years that those fields were tilled. All the years. She didn't just get her stuff back. She got it back with interest. She got it back compounded. Why? Because of God's goodness. He is the God of restoration. And he wants to restore all things. Not just in my life. And not just a little bit. He, you know, so many times we settle. We do. We settle for the very least. Because we think that that's all we deserve. We settle for just enough to get by. Because we think that that's how God wants it to be. But it says that he became poor. Who's that? Jesus. So that we might what? Become rich. He became sickness and disease. Why? So we could walk in full divine health. See, there's so much more that God has in store for each and every one of us that we can't even hardly believe it. I don't think that woman expected to get 7 years of her crops back. Do you? Who knows? Maybe she did. Maybe she had full expectation. Hey, Elijah told me to leave. It was God's command. He's going to take care of me. She had great faith. So what is it in your life that you need restored? Maybe for some it's a relationship. Maybe for some it's just your heart. It's wounded. It's hurt. Maybe it's your joy. Maybe the enemy has come in and just robbed your joy. You know, it seems like that seems to be his number one ticket that he goes after, is our joy. Someone told me, you know, if he gets your joy, he gets your goods. And what are our goods? It says that we have all the goodness of God in our life. And he gets our joy. He keeps us from walking out and living the goodness of God, the very grace of God, the very nature of God. God is good. He is a good, good Father. And he wants to fully restore the years that the locust has eaten. The years, not just get you back to where you're square one, but in interest. And so I want to encourage you to search your heart and say, Lord, what do I need restored in my life? What's the number one thing that I want restored? And I don't know, maybe someone wants to share. Someone wants to say, hey, you know what? I need this restored in my life. I need the promises of God to be yes and amen. And for me to believe that they're yes. To believe that God is for me, not against me. To believe that whatever the enemy brings against me, it won't prosper. Or maybe you just need to just have a restoration of faith once again. Just a restoration that he is going to make sure that what he has started in you is completed.
So does anyone have anything they want to talk about restoration in their heart about? Restoration in their life? Anyone want anything for prayer that you know the enemy has stolen from you and it hasn't been restored up to this point? No one? Bill? You were bitter?
Do you want to come say so we can hear? Otherwise, people just hear dead ear and me going,
I welcomed him in this place on October 24th. I quit smoking. I have been cigarette free for 9 days. So all I had to do was acknowledge him and tell him I love him. And I'm on my way to restoration for my health, because I can't do anything if I'm breathing hard and my knees buckle and my arms buckle. And, you know, it's just, I'm looking forward to what he has in store for me.
Amen. That's just one part of your restoration. Yes. Yes.
I think my women won't care if I say this, but in our cell group, a couple weeks ago, we decided that we were going to do a November challenge, and it's not going to be growing hair. We decided that we were going to spend the first 9 days in November praying and seeking the Lord to ask him, what is it he wants us to do? What change does he want in our lives? And, or what does he want to bring back to us? You know, what has been stolen from us? You know, good word, especially for the year of Jubilee. So, and then we're also supposed to pray, who is going to be our buddy? Who is going to be the one that we're accountable to? Because, you know, you can pass it off easily if you don't have an accountability person. So, and then the last 21 days of November is when we're doing the work. 21 days for change, we've heard that before. So we're spending 9 days in prayer, beseeching the Lord, and then we're going to spend 21 days activating what the Lord has put on our hearts. So by December 1st, you should see some changes in the homes of the lives of the women. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So restoration of this month, and then carrying on, good. And then what? For the rest of life, yes, amen. Who else? Oh, sorry.
So I guess the Lord's putting on me that I'm not a disappointment. And to restore that, I can't disappoint my God. He doesn't have expectations of me. So I'm trying to trust. And so just pray for me on that part.
So you need restoration of not being disappointed? Oh, you've never disappointed. Right. The only expectation that God puts on us is that we receive him and receive his love. But yeah, we do. We put expectations on ourselves to meet these high and lofty goals, don't we?
I just spent the last week in Georgia, and I had talked to Pastor Gaylene because I knew my sisters were going to be there. And me and my two younger sisters have an awful relationship. I always, you know, tell people, God gave me 7 awesome sisters when he gave me Tim, and he did. And God restored what sisterhood is to me in my 7 sisters that God gave me. And so this week when I went to Georgia and my sisters drove up to see me, which is number one, is a miracle in itself, because the enemy tried to get all over that. And so money was provided for them in different ways for them to come. And My youngest sister is still addicted to drugs. She's not a meth head anymore, but she's creating her own drugs. And so we're having to pray about that. But it was still good to get to see her, even though she thought she was pulling wool over my eyes. In between my baby sister and me is a sister that I have fought with most of my life. And we were able to put some things to the side. And we were able to give forgiveness to each other. And things that I thought that she didn't know, she knows. And I thought she would hate me for them because they involve her dad being taken away from her. And she didn't. She just looked at me and said, it wasn't your fault. And so to have that from her was like this big burden taken off of my heart. And it, I know that we hear all the time that when we have a hidden thing from our spouse or from God or from somebody that we care about, it kind of ruptures the relationship just a little bit. And I got to feel that rupture and that relationship be repaired because of that secret not being a secret with her. Because for me, I kept it from her in shame. But she never said anything to me about it because she didn't know how to. But the Lord allowed that to happen for us this week.
Restoration of families. Restoration of families. Anyone else? I just want to encourage everyone that even though you may not see the hand of restoration right now, you may not see what God's doing, there may not be any evidence of it at all. I'm here to tell you that He is working. He is working for your good. And even though you can't sense it even, maybe can't even sense His presence, having confidence that tomorrow could be the day that God changes everything can help you get through today. Hope is a powerful force. It's a catalyst for faith. What is faith? The evidence of things that are hoped for. And without hope, you can't conjure up faith. And so I want to encourage everyone that they have a deeper level of confidence that God has started a work in you, that He is going to be the one that will even work in sisters' hearts, will work with addictions in your life, will work with lies of the enemy, will work with things that, as with me, the enemy brought into my life that looked like I was going to be shipwrecked the rest of my life. That's not God's plan. God's plan is to take something that's broken and battered down and build it up to where it's fortified stronger than any fort it was before. He is our high tower. And we can, yes, run into Him and be safe from anything. But we have to choose it. The choice is ours. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. Oh, wait. Phyllis got something. Okay.
53 years ago, I was where Mike was. A disaster in my life with 5 children. And when after I got my life back together and gave my heart to the Lord, Ken came into my life and things have been fine ever since. I'm where you are now, Mike, because of waiting on the Lord and letting the Lord take a hold of what needed to be done, not what I was doing. And it's possible. I've seen it.
Man, that's wisdom. Anyone else? Yeah, I thought you did, Glenn. You had that look in your face. Little twinkle in your eye when you...
Well, there's something that the Lord has been working on me on, and that's having a thankful heart. And I don't know if you guys have ever struggled with being thankful or taking things for granted. But I think that's the number one joy killer, is not being thankful for what you have. Because when you're ungrateful, you start looking at all the things that you don't have instead of all the things that you do have. And it's amazing when you look at what you do have, you realize how much you have. Because when you're stuck in that place of unthankfulness, you're always looking at other things, because the other things, as though they're going to solve a problem that's an internal problem. And how much do we like to not own our problems? But there's something that the Lord spoke to me earlier in the week, and He said, you have not been freed from judgment. And I said, okay. He says, I chose to judge you rightly. He didn't say, he didn't wipe away the judgment process. He made a way for us to be judged rightly. And that's by the blood of Jesus. And when we start looking at our situations and we're looking at them with an ungrateful heart, we're not seeing what God has prepared for us. And we're relying on circumstances to provide joy in our life instead of relying on the blood of Jesus. He has not freed us from judgment. He's chosen to judge us righteously. And that truth right there alone has set me free from so much striving, because I'm no longer working to be judged rightly. Even the law before made people strive to be freed from sin. But 1 John tells us we no longer have to strive to be free from sin. We already are free from sin. So I just encourage you guys, remember that you have not been freed from judgment, but God chose to judge you righteously. And Jesus did come. Jesus did pay the price, and that's why we are where we are. That's why we have the lives that we have. That's why we've been set free, is because that one truth, that Jesus' blood was shed. So, you guys are all amazing, and I know that because you guys are made in the image of an amazing God. And he has not looked once at your failures and judged you for them since you came under the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is this amazing covering that then covers your entire life. And I want you guys to think about this. When Jesus died on the cross, all your sins were in the future. So when you get down on yourself and you say, well, I was doing so good yesterday. When Jesus died, even yesterday was in the future. And he chose to forgive all your sin. He didn't say until this day, until that day. So don't get hung up on failure. Celebrate your successes. Look at the things that you do have, not the things that you don't have. And remember that you are righteous in God's sight. Amen. I love you guys, all of you. Have an amazing week. Celebrate God.